90.1 FM Turmoil Music from Nitro Chris. And that's Psychophant. Let me see if I can turn this up here. Here we go. Psychophant from the She's a Rebel comp CD. Let me run down what we heard. Started off with the Guinea Pigs, who gave us Green Tag. Mandingo after that with Fuel from their Macho Grande CD release on Doctor Strange Records. Industry Girl after that with Earshot. That's from the Burnt and Bent compilation CD. The Automatics gave us Becky and the Girls. I think I played that twice by accident, so just getting things straightened out here. And Nitro Chris or Nitro Christ with a Psychophant from the CD release She's a Rebel compilation, which features the Muffs, Tribeight, Teen Angels, Cake Like, Band of Queen, Die Cheerleader, Belle, 7 Year Bitch, and our next performer, Brenda Kahn.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear yourself?
A little too well.
Okay, how's that?
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Okay, she's going to do a song for us she hasn't played in, what, 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, 3 minutes and 6 years. Are you ready? Was it? Whenever I am? Okay. I owe more in taxes than I have in the bank. Captain of the Exxon Valdez was tanked, and the average American mind draws a hopeless blank, and you say, this is an egg, and this is drugs, and this is an egg on drugs. Screwed it up. Let's just talk about stuff. I'll do it at the end.
Okay. Let me turn my mic on. And this is where the hard part comes in, because I have to sort of twist around over here to look at you as we talk and everything. But that was Eggs on Drugs, which I played back in, I guess, 1990 when the CD release Goldfish Don't Talk Back came out on Community 3 Records. And that was like my first exposure to you. And I was like, wow, this is really cool tune. This CD is really great. And I was like, how come I've never heard of her before? And then all of a sudden, you just disappeared off the face of the earth for a few years after that.
After the Goldfish record?
Yeah. What was going on around that time?
Well, I was I moved to Minneapolis, and I was just playing around out there. I toured a lot in the Midwest, and I just sort of went through this, like, crazy vagabond, like, girl with a guitar and a car in a strange town kind of phase, and eventually moved back to New York with this crazy drug addict guy I was in love with, and then worked at CB's waitressing, and then kind of tripped and fell and got a deal with Columbia Records, and that was my second phase of existence. That's the short
So you worked at the CB's, the record store next door to the club, or in the club itself?
Because
I know CB's around that time opened up like a little record pizza place next door and everything. Were you?
Yeah, I did both. First I got hired to waitress at the club, and I was a really, really bad waitress. and later wrote a song called Night, which is on the Destination Anywhere record, which is sort of based on those experiences there. Mm-hmm. And then they realized I was such a bad waitress that they had me make pizzas next door at the CV's pizza place and, like, t-shirt shop. And that was much more suited. Mm-hmm. I was much more suited to that profession, the pizza-making profession, than I was the waitressing profession.
Right. Now, the pizza place next door, they used to have performers play there. Did they ever let you perform?
No, that was at the gallery space, which was next door on the other side.
Okay, I'm getting
I never really worked at the gallery, but I did perform at the gallery often. See, what happened was originally what he did was he opened up a record store performance space, and that was short-lived, and they turned the record store into a pizza joint and then opened the gallery, and that became the performance space / art place, which it is now.
Okay, so in that time you were traveling across the country doing a little solo thing, I guess.
Right.
How did you get picked up by Columbia?
Well, David Kahn, no relation, was had heard Goldfish Don't Talk Back and had talked to me in his office. I went up to the Columbia offices, which was Black Rock. Now it's not there anymore, but and you know, he said, "Well, you know, I think your record's pretty neat, and I think you're doing a really cool thing here, and I'm not going to give you a record deal right now, but I think you're really cool, and I think, you know, keep trucking," is basically what he said, and I was like, oh, man, whatever. Like, thanks a lot. So, but I did like him, and I didn't really keep in touch with him. I split. I moved to Minneapolis and all that. And then when I was in Minneapolis, I made a 7-inch. Purple vinyl 7-inch with a label called Crackpot, which was a record store also. And I did it with this guy, Caleb Palmer, who's a bass player, and Steve Foley, who was a drummer, who was the last replacement's drummer on their last tour. And I kind of just asked those guys, you know, I was like, hey, do you guys want to make a little 7-inch thing with me for a Crackpot label? And they were like, yeah, okay, cool. And you know, we just did it. Minneapolis was a very great town for me. They, you know, all the other musicians who I ran into there, it was a very different vibe from New York. I mean, New York was a great experience for me, but something about Minneapolis was just a little bit easier all around. You know, people wrote about me a lot because they couldn't believe that I moved from New York to Minneapolis, because everybody knew that you weren't supposed to do that. You're supposed to do what Dylan did and move from Minneapolis to New York. And people were just shocked, and they didn't really know how to handle that. They were like, so you just moved here. Why? And I would just say, well, I don't really know. I just moved. And, you know, but like the Soul Asylum guys and Jayhawks, all those guys were really cool to me and really, you know, were like, hey, open up for me, or, you know, let's do this show together or whatever. So it was a really different experience for me. It was much more unilateral scene. Like, there's only a few places to hang out, so everybody hangs out. You know, it's not like New York where there's a million places to go, so you could basically disappear and never see any of your friends again if you wanted to, and you live a block away. So anyway, so I made... Just to answer your question, which originally was, how did I get the deal with Columbia? I made this 7-inch. God, I'm in a talky mood, yeah, aren't I? God. I made the 7-inch, and at the same time sort of decided to move back to New York City and just see what was going on over there. And I had a manager at the time who sent tapes out, and they heard that song, I Don't Sleep, I Drink Coffee Instead, and really liked it and decided to give me a record deal. That was the story. Yeah.
Okay. Since we never got the 7-inch, would you mind doing a song from it?
Well, the songs were I Don't Sleep, I Drink Coffee Instead, and Mint Juleps and Needles, which is Epiphany on the Epiphany in Brooklyn record.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have that record?
I don't have that one.
Well, okay. I would be happy to do that.
Okay. And all right. If you could just, some technical advice, just move a little bit closer to the mic.
Closer to the mic? Okay, because right, can your guitar is overwhelming. Can you turn it down in here?
Sure.
Thank you. That's much better. Okay, this is called I Don't Sleep, I Drink Coffee Instead. There's a white trash chick at the donut shop. Reads her horoscope, calls her old man Pop. Runs a red light, flips off the cop. His name is Bob and lives down the block. I don't sleep, I drink coffee instead. Trying to burn a hole through my aching head. Now I'm thinking about you. That's a Motel 6 out in Louisville, Kentucky, where people are large and clearing house lucky. And across the border, a couple old Hoosiers looking kind of lifeless and worn. Well traveled in two states of the Union, they set out to find the place where Abe Lincoln was born. I don't sleep, I drink coffee instead. Trying to burn a hole through my aching head. Nah, yeah, 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 I'm thinking about you. I drove into New York City, garbage bacon on the street. It was not pretty. I saw a coal duster and trash can Pete. They was wasting time on Essex Street. Yeah, they had Jack the hydrants, spray the ladies with the dollar bill earrings and the little black babies. Well, I don't sleep, I only dream. A caffeine hole burning through my spleen. And baby, I'm thinking about you. Thank you. become a hungry junkie with a face like Van Gogh. Two eyes, two ears, but only half a nose. And the boys say, beat it, girl, you stink. You got a head full of lice, a mouth full of drink. And trash can pee gives the dumb bitch a wink. Well, with me, that just don't fly, it's sinking. I don't bother with nothing. Try to protest, I get the hell out of Dodge. 80 back to the Midwest. I don't sleep, I drink coffee instead. Trying to burn a hole through my aching head.
Okay, Brenda Kahn live in the USB studios. Great, yeah. I love that. I'm surprised. Most record company executives that I've spoken to just don't get it lately. And for them to pick up on a good phone like that is like, wow.
I was shocked myself. I was pretty amazed that, you know, somebody at Columbia Records would want to put out, you know, my record based on I Don't Sleep, I Drink Coffee instead. You know, I was like, wow, that's crazy.
But no. Based on what's happening in music today, it seems like you're a couple years ahead of your time.
I keep doing that. I think
you're setting the pace and the trends for everybody. It's like I listen to some of the new artists coming out, you know, not to name names, but you know, you see them on, you know, the TV and you hear them on the radio, and it's just like saying, man, you know, Brenda was doing this stuff 4 or 5 years ago. And
I hear that from my fans a lot, and it's, I don't know, it doesn't make me feel better necessarily. It's sort of like, But I kind of do feel like, you know, I'm starting to catch up to the world, and the world, you know, is catching up with me or whatever it is, you know, that it's all kind of, because, you know, what's happening too is I think that the average man on the street is the focus is widening of what people like. And the technology is so much better now that people can just make records, you know, for a lot cheaper and put them out themselves. So people are getting more interested in more independent music a lot more. And the major labels, they don't know what's going on. They're signing everything, you know. They're just like, got
it. Yeah, just throw it up against the wall and whatever sticks.
Yeah. That's... And you find that, like, a lot more people have a smaller but more loyal following than I think was true in the past, where it was like you just kind of listened to whatever, you know, like when I was in high school, you just bought Bowie records, you know, and whatever, you know, like you didn't really overthink it. You weren't like, well, what's you know,
you didn't, you know, those days, you didn't even really know what music was on the records. You just bought it because it was like a Bowie record.
Right.
You know, the new Bowie records out, I just went out and bought it.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Time to get it.
Here we are trashing the record industry. I got Frank here from Shaunakee Records. I hope you don't have to have a walk home or anything like that. But actually, Shaunakee's sort of rescued you because I remember... I think it was Destination Anywhere. I saw a publicity shot of you with an overcoat on, holding these master tapes, like sneaking out of a building. And I'm going,
Grand Theft Audio.
You're right, right. Okay, why don't you tell us what that's all about? Because the record industry just like sucks people in and just like spits them out.
It's
and
terrible.
Unfortunately, you are one of those. But thankfully, you know, there's some labels out there. You know, I consider them like Shaunakee's like a mom and pop label. You know, where they're really, it's like a family type of feeling, you know.
Right.
And I just get that from, you know, talking to Frank or just getting the CDs from them and stuff, and the way they promote their artists. I'm like going, you know, they keep close to their artists. They really, you know, care about them.
Definitely,
so,
yeah.
How did that swing out?
Well, basically what happened was Sony or Columbia put out that record. They made this record for me. It was called Epiphany in Brooklyn. And I toured a lot behind that record. I toured a lot in France. It did really well there. And it did basically pretty well, especially for a record like that at the time, like you were saying, you know, right before there was a lot of female artists doing the, like, acoustic rock and roll thing or whatever it is. And then they made a second record, and at that time... I did a 2-month tour for that record, not to make it very dramatic, although it was kind of dramatic at the time, but I did a lot of touring as pre-promotion for the record, and songs, they had sent out like a 3-song CD that was being played on radio, and it was reviewed in some magazines, and it was, you know, February, whatever, was the release date, and then Chaos, the boutique label that had the record, actually, it was a Columbia Dimension, folded completely, just completely like disbanded. And that was kind of my label. So they were going to put it out in Columbia. And then David Kahn, who had originally signed me and was the head of A&R for Columbia, got fired. So basically there was no like support, yeah, or however you want to say, like there was nobody who had anything to do with my record was there anymore all of a sudden. And so they dropped it like 2 weeks before the release date.
Wow.
So it was really harsh, and it took me about a year to get the record back and get it released on Shawnee. So it's been great. You know, I feel really lucky because I really feel like my experience with Columbia really like helped, you know, get my name out there, which was very awesome. And then beyond that, it really helped me understand a lot about the music industry that I really didn't understand going in. I was just kind of like, yeah, cool. I'm finished now. You know, I got a big deal. And it's not like that, really, for any musicians going into that. And if you are out there in a band, I would definitely say, like, think a lot about putting out your own stuff. And anyway, but it was a good experience in a lot of ways. And then being able to put the records out on Shawnee now, it just is great. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on.
Okay. Can I just make a request?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, I have a few.
I don't know if I'll play it.
I have a few favorites on here, you know, starting with the title, you know, Reconcile, the first track.
Oh, yeah.
Spoon is one of my favorites over here. This is the one I get a lot of feedback on. Would you mind doing that?
Yeah. Okay. It's a hard song to play on the acoustic guitar, but I could give it a shot. Okay. Okay, let's see. That's got me put my punk rock hat on. My boy, he lit a spoon up every night for dinner. Just got thinner and thinner and thinner. Said he liked the way it made him feel like a sinner. Sunlight was a nuisance, we would not let it in. Listening to the mice tap dancing on the tin. All of a sudden, paranoia set in. He's got that look in his eyes, anesthetized. He tries and tries again. Well, maybe I'm confused, maybe I'm distraught. Sometimes I say something that perhaps I hadn't thought. Well, things were pretty funny till we got caught getting high in the hotel room. My boy, he lit a spoon up every night for dinner. He just got thinner, thinner and thinner. Said he liked the way it made him feel like a sinner. He's got that look in his eyes, anesthetized, tries and tries again. Silver, we was kinda wired. View from the rooftop was really inspired. Locks were all busted, he was my kinda hero. Swear to God, he looked like Robert De Niro. My boy, he lit a spoon up every night for dinner. Just got thinner, thinner and thinner. Said he liked the way it made him feel like a sinner. Said he liked the way it made him feel like a winner. Said he liked the way it made him feel like a winner. Like a winner. Like a winner.
Like that ending. With me in the studio is Brenda Kahn. You're tuned to WUSB. The show is Turmoil. We're doing a little bit of a different thing from what I normally play on the show, but I've been a big fan of Brenda's for a long time now, so I'm making this exception. Not too often I do this. I get a lot of people calling up.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I'm just like, no, I don't think so. It's not what my audience likes, but you're one of the few people I would do this for. I really enjoy your music and everything. Now, Spoon, which you just played, is on the She's a Rebel compilation.
That's right.
Which is a benefit CD for an organization called Rock for a Cure. Did they approach you, or did you just hear about this and said, I want to contribute something?
Well, Shawnee suggested it, and I thought it was a great idea, so mm-hmm. That's how it kind of happened.
You familiar with some of the other bands on the release? Have you worked with any of them?
Now, who all's on there? I know Cake Like, for sure, because they're friends of mine. I don't really know them.
They're friends of yours? But
yeah.
You couldn't place them on the way driving over here, huh?
Well,
hopefully they can't hear.
I did. I was like, I know that song. All right, leave me alone. I hope they're not listening. They're like, oh, thanks a lot, Brenda. I know a few of the bands, but I don't know them personally.
Right. Okay.
Just those guys.
I figured I'd put you on the spot here.
Yeah, thanks. Like thanks a lot.
Now, how long was it between recording, you know, the music for Destination Anywhere and the new one?
Well, quite a long time, actually, because the Destination Anywhere was supposed to come out at the end of 94, so we recorded it in 93, and or maybe we recorded it, I guess, the beginning of 94. And then the Outside the Beauty Salon was recorded at two separate times. One, when I first got dropped from Columbia, my producer called me and said, "This is crazy, come out here, start making another record." And I said, "Well, you know, I've got a little cash flow problem going on here right now." And he said, "I don't care about that. Just come out here and, you know, pay for the airfare and I'll pay for everything else." So that's what I did. And the first six songs that we did together for the record, we recorded at that time, which was about somewhere in 95. And then the other six songs we recorded this year. Or what is this, April? So probably like the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Years are so weird that way. They clock over on the 1st of January. But anyway, so like recently, you know. So, and it was pretty neat because the first half I did with Tim, who I respect, and I think he's an amazing producer. And then the second half I produced myself because he was busy, basically. But out at his studio because he wasn't there. And it was really a great experience for me because I've never really taken on actually producing the record. You know, I've always sort of co-produced everything and been sort of like, well, let's just do it like this and let's do it like that. But I never really had my name there on the credit. And it was really, I learned so much doing that. And I'm really happy with it.
So you pretty much had all day then, you know, since you had the studios to yourself, you could just come in the morning, fiddle around, you know. Are you like a perfectionist where you're just like, you know, let's do this part over again and over again?
Well, no, not in the studio. I definitely had certain ideas of how I wanted things to sound, and I would do things over and over again until I felt like they were right, but generally what my idea of what's right is the best thing that it can be at that moment that it's happening. So unless it really sounds screwed up, I'm going to be like, yeah, great. It's perfect. Whatever it is, it's perfect. Cause I really feel like music, not to get too philosophical on you, but I feel like music is about, like, if you break down like the creative arts, you know, like painting and stuff like that, like sculpture and like painting and stuff, that's really, it's the permanence of it that's really amazing. And then music is the impermanence of it, the moment of it, that's really amazing. So I think when you're recording a record, you really want to capture the moment, not capture the finely, like, laid layers of painstaking moments. You know, like,
right.
You know, that's my feeling. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't make a great record a different way, but I like to try to capture on, it's like listening to, like, you know, it was just Billie Holiday's birthday, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I think, and we were listening to like all this stuff on the radio of her in the studio and she's talking to people and then she'll just sing something, and it's so beautiful because it's just that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what music is, makes music really special.
It's the spontaneity, that extra spark.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why the live show will never become obsolete, because that's really like the core of it, you know.
And speaking of live shows, you got a few coming up. I had the listings
here.
Let's see what we've got. Well, today's the 9th. April 14th, you're playing at FDU.
Yeah.
Spring Festival there.
That's right.
And April 18th, record release show at Arlene's Grocery.
That's right. It's worth the drive.
Okay. And
Arlene's Grocery is, it's 95 Stanton Street. It's down near Ludlow, below Houston.
Okay.
Because it's not on the flyer.
It's 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Then a week later, you fly all the way out to Los Angeles.
And then L.A. I've got a jet set man.
Is that like a West Coast record release going on out there?
Sort of, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
it should be good.
So you're keeping busy. And in fact, I've been keeping up to date with you on the internet.
Oh, cool.
Which is really neat, and getting the emails from you or whoever
good.
Is doing
Yeah, no, I send them out.
Yeah,
good.
So it's just like, you know, every once in a while, it's like, oh, Brenda's over here, now she's over here, now she's over there. And then, you know, I'm going, wow, now she's in the studios, which is like even better.
Well, I have to say the internet has been the coolest thing for me because not only has it just been like really a supportive thing because when I got dropped from Columbia and everything was like crazy, like trying to figure out what's going on with Shaunakee and all that, I had so much mail from people saying, like, you know, where's the record? Well, I was looking for it, and I didn't see it. Did it come out? Is it coming out? You know, and it was such immediate access to so many people. It was really great. Mm-hmm. And now, I have a website, womanrock.com, and the website is done by these friends of mine in Champaign who are fans who, you know, approached me and said they thought it would be a neat idea. I was like, go for it. You know, let's do it, you know. So I give them stuff, and they do stuff on their own, and it's really amazing. I think, you know, I've put shows together through the internet where I sent out one of those mailings, and somebody sent something to me and said, "Why aren't you playing in Madison, Wisconsin?" And I said, "Well, I didn't know where to play, you know. And if you want to set something up for me, like on Monday, the whatever, you know, go ahead. Like I'm actually driving from Chicago to Minneapolis, and I'll be happy to play in Madison." And this girl, like, you know, sent me back an email saying, call this guy, call Ken at the chamber, like, set it up. And I did that show at 8 o'clock on a Monday, and there was about 200 people there, and it was just, like, the best show of the tour. And because this girl was just, like, telling all her friends, and it was amazing. And I thought, wow, this is a powerful tool, you know? It was really cool.
Totally immediate and worldwide now, too.
Yeah, amazing. I get mail from, I've gotten letters from Singapore, from Serbia, from Hungary, all over the places where there's no way you could get my record. Mm-hmm. And they got my record somehow. And they're, you know, they're like, wow, this is really neat. And, you know, I like it. And hello, how are you? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so great, though.
That's great. So you want to do another song for us?
Okay.
Your choice this time.
My choice?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know if you want to do something from the new one.
I should do something from the new record. Let's see what we got here. Maybe I'll do... Oh, I have a good song. Okay, this song's called Heather. It's about a waitress that I met in Colorado. This is kind of staticky. Should it be that static?
That's just the tuner.
It's just, okay. Oh, that's much better. Okay. This is called Heather. Drive-thru liquor store closed down. We knew things were looking pretty bad. So I lit a match to a menthol cigarette and put on my best Sunday boots. I dreamed I ate the sweetest fruit, and I slept at the Navajo Motel, and I walked 5 miles of pavement to a sandy citadel. Phoenix was colder than I. Heather served a nasty key lime pie and quit her job before the check had come. We made off dear like forward to the setting sun. Last night's dishes covered up in last night's dinner scum. Served a nasty key lime pie, and I thought I saw some strange honesty linger in her eye. Her hair was tied crazy backward braid of women who possess secrets that men can only crave. Down Monte Carlo, baking in the parking lot, really made you wonder, are you useful or are you not?
Brenda Kahn live in the USB studios. Heather from the new one. Yeah. And I was going to ask you, the CDs that you have at the records, you playing with a band.
Uh-huh.
When you go out on tour, are you by yourself doing acoustic or do you have a band with you?
Good question. Well, often I am playing solo acoustic, and I've gone through many band incarnations, and the record release is going to be with a band, but I've been doing a lot of acoustic stuff, and, I'm doing broken down sort of band things. I like playing with other musicians. I think it's really fun, but I also like doing solo acoustic shows, so I kind of just do both.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, it's a very vague answer, but yeah, I do both. I think I'm probably going to do some Midwest touring in the spring with solo,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll do some more East Coast. It's easier to do stuff on the East Coast with the band because right. It's less expensive.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're, writing songs, how do you visualize it, or, do you visualize it with just the solo acoustic, and then later on after you get those tracks down, then you start adding the different pieces of the band together, or do you just have that full
right.
band effect first and then, later on strip it down to acoustic for performing?
Well, I almost never do that. I almost never start with a whole band thing. Oh, because I usually write stuff by myself, on an acoustic. But often, depending on the song, it depends on what the song is like, sometimes I'll hear the whole band in my head and I'll be playing a part, but I'll know that there's going to be a bass part supporting that, or, another guitar part. I'll write sort of the shell of a band version of a song. But I think more often than not, I write a complete song that's acoustic and then put a band together mm-hmm. around it.
Okay, and now getting to some of your lyrics and everything like that. I was talking to someone at work this evening. He's a poet, and I said, you got to listen to this CD. I said, because I can't, I said, I've been involved with the punk music for so long. I said,
oh, yeah.
I lost all my early, my 70s, late 60s, 70s, folk influences, and, Patti Smith and Lou Reed and,
right.
those type of artists. I says, I just can't place the influences on this. And
oh, yeah.
I just, he took off before I even got a chance, after he listened to the CD, just dropped in my mailbox and took off. And I never got a chance to sit down with him and say,
where's
this coming from? Yeah. I says, I know I've heard, I can hear some of these songs somewhere else. I says, I'm picking up bits and pieces. I said, but my mind is just doing a punk show, I'm sure it's if you heard some of the show coming over, you're like, what the hell is that crap?
No, I love that stuff. I grew up listening to The Clash and Black Flag mm. and all that stuff,
Right.
My influences are all over the place, mm. really. I mean, truly. They're from Betsy Smith to The Clash to, I was a big Velvet Underground fan,
right.
and I think that's kind of obvious, but mm-hmm. then maybe not. I don't know. Never know. A big Bowie fan. All sorts of stuff, whatever kind of crosses my mm-hmm. path. And then I have a lot of literary influences, too, mm-hmm. because obviously the lyrics are very, they're sort of the focal point of my songs, and they're often poetic. I think, a lot of things that I've written, that I've read, sort of filter into the things that I've written. So, they are all over the right. place, so that's probably why they seem all over the place. I'm glad about that, though. I'm glad you can't say, this sounds exactly Lou Reed in 1979.
Right. Because there's, Spoon, I'm going, God, there's, something in there that, reminds me of something, and it's, I'm picturing Romeo Void,
Am
I lucky better if we slept together, something
right.
like that. And then it's, there's another song that's, going, man, this sounds like Bowie, Hunky Dory, the Man Who Sold the World phase, right, you know, right. This one here, and I'm going, and this one's like, you know, Velvet Underground, you know, like,
yeah, like sometimes I'll be listening to something and I'll be like, you know, that reminds me of a James Addiction song, sort of, you know, and then I'll be playing something else and I'll be like, oh, it's just like one of those Velvet Underground, like, guitar songs, you know.
Now, we're going to do something different. You've been playing acoustic. I'm going to give you a break here. We're going to play something from the CD.
All right.
And I'm going to let you pick the track, and we'll throw it on so people can get a feel of how you sound with the band.
Okay. Why don't you play Alice? I like that.
Okay, why don't you...
That would be your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Track 6.
Okay, Brenda Kahn in the studios here at WUSB. Where's the CD?
Oh.
Uh-oh. You know what? I probably left it in my CD player at home.
No, say it isn't so.
It's so.
Does Frank have one?
Okay, oh, Frank coming through.
Coming to the rescue.
Oh, he's going to make me open it
oh,
up
no,
here
but...
on the air.
Open it. Well, let's talk a little about the upcoming election.
Okay, why don't we do that?
Is anyone being elected?
Nobody out here. Let's talk about that missing jet plane.
Oh, is that what's guy... that? There's
some,
a missing jet plane?
Yeah, some Navy pilot or something. There's a plane missing.
Wow.
So they're not sure if he went down in the Colorado or if he stole the plane.
Or if he just, like, flew off.
Right, with it. So we can talk about that. But
I'm going to take this jet plane, and I'm not bringing it back.
Okay, so...
Honey, we can go to Mexico. Just you and me in the jet plane.
That was a John Travolta movie, actually, wasn't it?
I'm steal the plane with the... on a jet plane.
Okay, from the new one, this is out now, right?
Outside the Beauty Salon.
Okay, Outside the Beauty Salon on Shawnee Records. We're going to hear Alice from Brenda Kahn, who's here in the studios, and let's give it a listen. This is Brenda with the full band.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Climb the watchtower just to find her and leave a trail of tears behind her. She knows it's all right to cry. And she does not care at all. She shatters when she falls. And everything that's true is just a piece of you. Watercolor.
90.1 FM. Turmoil Music from Brenda Kahn from the new one, Outside the Beauty Salon. I can't get this title in my head yet.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Alice. And you don't like this.
I know, I do like it.
Oh, okay.
But no, I said there was more punk rock songs you could have played that are on the record, but okay. I kind of like this song especially.
All right. And you're working on a song right now, it looks like. So.
I thought I'd write.
So why don't we play something else that you think is a little bit more punk rock, which is me and Frank agreed, we both like Hey Romeo.
Hey Romeo.
So we're going to play that, and you can give us a little background on that.
Well, Hey Romeo would be a song about, it's just about some guy.
Just some guy.
What are you asking me for? What do you want to know?
I just want to embarrass you. Maybe he's listening.
Maybe he is. No, okay. I don't know.
We'll let the listeners
decide. It's sort of like, it's basically about, actually being sort of there for somebody.
Okay. Brenda Kahn with Hey Romeo, and she'll be playing another acoustic song right after this.
The day's gone out, the night's gone sour. I cannot figure out anything at this hour. Her restless shoes, the worn down carpet. Feeling sorry for everything I'd ever started.
FM, Turmoil Music from Brenda Kahn. That's from her latest, Outside the Beauty Salon. That was Hey Romeo. Brenda's here in the studios. Let me give you the address over the air now for people who maybe want to find out where to pick this up, because we were just having a discussion where or where it's not available.
All right.
Tower Records definitely has it. I'm sure if you go to like Borders or some of the other ones, they could probably order
it for
you.
They can order it for you, for sure.
But if you want, Shaanicky has a really cool catalog. Is it free? Yeah. Or they send a self-addressed stamped envelope. Okay, if you want, you can pick up a free catalog from... I got the Shaanicky rep here. He's not even sure himself. Just send him a couple of bucks. He'll be glad to send you anything. It's the Shaanicky... Well, we'll say Shaanicky Records. Shaanachie. And the address is P.O. Box 284, Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N, New Jersey, 07860-0284. And if you want, give us a call here after 10 at 516-632-6901, and I'll give you the address once again. But Brenda's here in the studios. Don't want to waste too much more time. We only got a few more minutes left. And you've been working on... Is this a song you've already have done and you're just trying to reacquaint yourself with the lyrics?
I just wrote it a couple of days ago.
Okay.
But I just didn't want to screw up.
Okay. What's this called?
I don't know. I don't really have a name for it yet. I think we'll call it a... maybe Temple of Gladness.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure do.
Okay.
Before we describe the guitar.
It's a simple song. Goes like this. In the Temple of Gladness, the Circle of Sadness forms at the rim of your eye. Have no future to serve as your suture. In truth, I'm terribly shy. My oh my, I've fallen in love again. My oh my, I've fallen in love again. The shopping cart matron I know from Penn Station walks 5 miles a day. She likes to strike matches and long conversations, and once I heard her say, my oh my, I've fallen in love again. My oh my, I've fallen in love again. Would you like my number? Maybe you hunger for the thrill of the chance to leave here together in spite of the weather. Well, maybe we should just dance. My oh my, I've fallen in love again. My gladness, a circle of sadness forms at the rim of your eye. I have no future to serve as your suture. In truth, I'm terribly shy. In truth, I'm terribly shy. In truth, I'm terribly shy.
Great. New song.
Do you like
That'll
it?
Be on the next one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, can't wait.
For the new record.
The new record. Let's get that out, okay? You're tuned to Turmoil on WUSB Stony Brook. With me here in the studio is Brenda Kahn. Brenda's been around for a long, long time now.
Since, yeah.
I played her back in 1990, and she's been a Turmoil favorite. We're taking a little deviation from the normal punk and hardcore this evening to give Brenda some well-deserved airplay that she might not normally get with all the overload, I guess, of all the other female singers that are being pushed on the market who aren't even closely or nearly as talented as you are.
Wow,
and,
thanks.
I'm really glad that you're
I'm
able
blushing.
To...
You can't see it, but...
We're really glad to have you up here this
evening.
And I want
it.
To thank you for coming down and
well,
everything.
Thank you.
And I want to thank also Frank from Shaanahkee for contacting me and bringing her down. And just want to remind you, April 18th, Brenda will be playing in New York City at Arlene's Grocery, the record release show, 10 o'clock. And why don't you give the address again?
It's 95 Stanton Street, just west of Ludlow.
Okay. And you also have the website,
womanrock.com.
So you can check out her stuff there. And if you have any questions or anything else like that, Brenda will be in the studios for the next, 10 minutes or so. And you can give us a call here, 632-6901.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
All right.
I think I had a really good time. It was really
thanks for having me down.
Of fun having you up here. And I'm going to play Eggs on Drugs from the CD because I haven't heard this, you know, just having you play it acoustic earlier, I haven't heard this in so long.
I did it perfect off the air.
Yeah. But this is the first, this is the first thing that Turmoil's ever played from Brenda. And this was back in 1990 when a label called Community 3 was putting out some music. And this was my first exposure to Brenda. And I'm glad you're still plugging away at it and keeping it going. So thanks once again for coming down. From Brenda Khan's, the first one, Goldfish Don't Talk Back, which I hear is not even available anymore.
It's hard to find.
Hard to find. This is Eggs on Drugs here on Turmoil.
I'd like to dedicate this song to the PMRC. I owe more in taxes than I have in the bank. Captain of the Exxon Valdez was tanked, and the average American mind draws a hopeless blank. And you say, this is an egg, and this is drugs, and this is an egg on drugs. Isn't there something else this country could discuss? Like, what do you think about the NRA or the price of medical care in this country today? Where is our cure for cancer and AIDS? And you say, this is an egg, and this is drugs, and this is an egg on drugs. Billy Joel thinks he's political, 'cause he can memorize an encyclopedia. Get insulted every time that I turn on my TV, told that freedom of choice is a variety of 50 kinds of breakfast cereals with different names whose ingredients all read exactly the same. How did this country get so insane? Girls try so hard to conform, they'll make themselves puke to belong, and then 3 years later they have false tits sewn on. I thought the First Amendment, you didn't have to agree. Well, from where I stand, it looks like bullshit to me. And you say, this is an egg, and this is drugs, this is an egg on drugs. Would you amend the Bill of Rights? Don't wrap a flag around my mouth. I will say what I like, and I say, this is an egg, and this is drugs, and this is an egg on drugs.
I don't care for anything. I can't stand this anyway. I'd live fast if it were fun. Am I old enough to die young? I count one and I count two. I hope to hell I don't see you. I'm waiting for these goddamn doors. Transport, I gotta transport. Shopping universities, only about future, no matter as they sit, I'm not bluffing.
90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook, UXA there with What Do You Want? FYP before that, Die Young. Thanks to Brenda for coming down. Christina's up next right after the concert billboard. Have yourselves a safe and a good week. You are tuned to WUSB Stony Brook.